Welcome to Advent's worship at 9 a.m. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whose Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, is the light of the world, grant that your people, illumined by your word and sacraments, may shine with the radiance of Christ's glory, that he may be known, worshipped, and obeyed to the ends of the earth. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
This morning's first lesson is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, verses 1 to 7. The world suffers darkness of heart and darkness of eternal vision. Through his chosen people, Israel, God promises to lift up a light to dispel all that darkness. It's the word of the Lord from Isaiah. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, he has made mention of my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, "You are my shepherd. You are my servant. Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." But I said, I have labored to no purpose. I have spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God. And now the Lord says, "He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength." He says, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth." This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and Holy One of Israel. To him who was despised and abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers. Kings will see you and rise up. Princes will see and bow down because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. This is the word of the Lord. This morning's psalm is Psalm 40 on page 4 in the bulletin. Let's read responsively by verse. I waited patiently upon the Lord. He stooped to me and heard my cry.
He lifted me out of the desolate pit, out of the mire and clay. He set my feet upon a high cliff and made my footing sure.
He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many shall see and stand in awe and put their trust in the Lord.
Happy are they who trust in the Lord. They do not resort to evil spirits or turn to false gods.
Great things are they that you have done, O Lord my God. How great your wonders and your plans for us. There is none who can be compared with you.
Oh, that I could make them known and tell. They are more than I can count.
In sacrifice and offering you take no pleasure. You have given me ears to hear you.
Burnt offerings and sin offerings you have not required. And so I said, behold, I come.
In the roll of the book, it is written concerning me. I love to do your will, O my God. Your law is deep in my heart.
I proclaimed righteousness in the congregation. Behold, I did not restrain my lips. And that, O Lord, you know.
The second lesson is from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1. Paul prays on behalf of the Corinthians and all of us that God will grant us and them strength for the work they have been given to do through Jesus Christ. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus, for in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord according to John. I'm reading from John chapter 1. This is 2 weeks in a row that the emphasis is on the baptism of Jesus, this time from John the Baptist's perspective. The next day, he saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he on behalf of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me.' I did not recognize him, but so that he might be manifested to Israel, I came baptizing in water." John testified, saying, "I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him. I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, 'He upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, he is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit.' I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." Again the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found first his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which translated means Christ. The Gospel of the Lord. Music this morning is a little bit special. Dara is gone in Boston with her mom, so Bruce is doing a solo, but Bruce is quite ill, so it has been a sacrifice for him to come and be here with us this morning. So what I would like to share with you comes out of the baptism scriptures from this week and from last week, and it's the concept that in the baptism of Jesus, we see the Trinity. And to me, that's a powerful thing, and I want to talk about that and the impact that it has on our lives. We see Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit descending like a dove, and the voice from heaven, which is the Father. And in just an amazing moment, we see something that is alluded to in the Old Testament and confirmed in several different ways in the New. But to assist your thinking just a little bit about who God is and our understanding of him, I had written a brief article in the newsletter. Please don't read it now, because I hope to be more stimulating than that article. But I hope that it'll help you reflect a little bit. The attributes of God that I list are true of each member of the Trinity, which to me is a mind blower to grasp that God the Son is like God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. So I hope that you will enjoy that when you look at it later. So there is no perfect example of the Trinity. One way to look at it, which is totally inferior, is that I have different roles in my life. I have been a son, a pastor, a father. I've been a husband, a grandfather, a brother. In some way, I'm all of those at once. But in other ways, I behave differently in each of those roles. For example, at an earlier church, I was doing a recreational activity at the church with my son when he was in elementary school, and we were playing in the grass, and a girl from the church came up, and she stood still with a shocked expression on her face. And I said to her, Rebecca, what is it? And she said, I thought pastors only wore robes and suits. I was in Levi's. She could not integrate that into her understanding of what a pastor was. Christopher said to her, this is my daddy. She did not at all see me in that role. And so we have different roles that we serve in, but for myself and for you, we are never in all places at the same time. We are only in one physical place, no matter what our role is. So if you compare it to electricity, many folks like me know how to avoid being killed by it, know how to harness its use to do certain things. When I went to bed last night, I plugged in my iPad so my notes would show up for this morning. I plugged in my phone. I don't get how what's on the current outside the house comes into the house through a charging cable and then powers up our electronics, our cable, our television. To me, it's an amazing thing. But we trust it, we use it, we don't completely understand it. And the Trinity is like that. It's a revelation of God. Actually, the term Trinity wasn't identified until the second century. But the object of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is very clear in Scripture. So begin to think about what that means. Jesus emptied himself of his eternal glory, whatever that would be. We have a glimpse of it in Revelation where John sees the Ancient of Days and hears the voice of the Son like the sound of roaring waters or of many waters. But yet that's a physical understanding of who God the Spirit is, but it's a way that John could integrate it into his limited understanding. And Jesus came laying down his glory, came in human as a human being to lead us back to the Father. If you think about what happened in the Garden of Eden, there was fellowship with the Father on earth. And then because of the failure of sin, access to the Father was blocked. The sacrificial system in the Old Testament was a way to deal with that blockage until the Messiah came that was referred to in the book of Isaiah this morning. It's an amazing thing to grasp that the whole goal of Jesus' life was to restore us in fellowship with the Father. And think about how we will pray in a little bit. Our Father. Prior to Jesus coming, that access was blocked, but he opened up the way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That's a part of the amazing aspect of what the Trinity means and what it means for our lives. The first statement in the Bible of the triunity of God is Genesis 1:26, where it says, Then God said, Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Who's God talking to? Let us make man. He can't be talking to the angels because they don't have the power to create. The word God, when it says God said in Hebrew, is Elohim, which is a plural word that is translated in English as God, but yet the verb said is a singular word in Hebrew. And so it's an amazing thing to try to figure out, what does that mean? He is three, but he's always one. And that's a part of what we confess that we cannot fully understand. And here's the thing, you and I live in a three-dimensional world, a world of height, width, and depth. But more than that, we're created spirit, soul, and body. And that, to me, is a core understanding of Trinity in human form, that we are more than what you see. But yet, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit live without the limitations of a three-dimensional universe that he created. He's spirit. He's infinitely more complex than we are. That's why Jesus, the Son, could be different from the Father but still be one. Because they live, exist in a realm of the Spirit that is beyond time, beyond
all that was created. In the third chapter of Exodus, I love this, as we begin to understand what does it mean to have God in our lives. God speaks to Moses at the burning bush and says, go back to Pharaoh so that you might lead the enslaved Israelites out. And in chapter 3, verse 13, Moses said to God, behold, I'm going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. I am, which is, we translate that as Yahweh. In earlier versions of the Bible, King James, it was Jehovah, but it's the same word, I am. Jesus said, when he was revealing himself in the New Testament, I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He used the very name of God for himself, and that's why Jewish leaders tried to stone him at one point. Jesus spoke of Abraham. Abraham is mentioned in Genesis thousands of years before Jesus. Jesus said of him, before Abraham was born, I am. That to me is an incredible thing. John the Baptist understood it, that the one who was younger than him chronologically was before him because he was very God of very God. Jesus said in John 10, verse 30, I and the Father are one. In 14:9, he who has seen me has seen the Father. If you want to understand what God the Father of the Old Testament is like, see what I do. He is like me. That's a powerful revelation. And then speaking of the third person in 14, starting at verse 16, Jesus said, I will ask the Father, he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. That's the Holy Spirit. So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are clearly revealed. And our understanding of that fact that we are created in his image means that we are more than you see. We are spirit, soul, and body. And that's where I want to kind of land what we're talking about today. In the most explicit verse in the Bible, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Paul says, as a blessing, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So spirit, soul, and body. And first, briefly, the body, the Greek word soma. It's who we are physically. Paul says, for you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. You and I are responsible for that, how we glorify God with what he has given us, not with what he hasn't given us, but living fully as his child with what he has given us. To me, that's a powerful thing. And the body is sometimes over-glorified, but it's also a gift from God that we were fearfully and wonderfully made, Psalm 139 says. So the body is the external. Then the next level, the soul, psyche in Greek, from which we get psychology, the soul consists, in my understanding, of the mind, the conscience, the will, emotions. I feel, I think, I want, I fear. That's the soul level of our lives. It's unseen, but it's very much a part of who we are. In the Old Testament, soul and spirit together are called the heart. And that's the core of who we are. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, a natural man, that's the word for soul, man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God for their foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they're spiritually appraised. That means that with what I am talking to you about, if you were a non-believer, what I'm talking about, it's just up here. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't affect your life. But as a spiritual person, as a child of God, you understand that there's more to who we are, and that comes from the soul and the spirit. And then finally, the spirit, pneuma in Greek. It's the spirit. It's in the spirit that I've been totally changed and made like Jesus. I have said this to you before, that one of my early understandings of when I came to know Jesus in a personal way, I was stunned that on the outside I hadn't changed. That's because the change happens on the inside, in that place that no one can see, in the spirit, that place of void, until God's Spirit opens it up through Jesus, and that begins to change everything. And so that means that as we worship God, even this morning, we worship Him on the basis of who we are in the Spirit, not on the basis of what we're feeling right now, but on the basis that we are children of God, and through Jesus we will be with the Lord forever, that the essence of who we are, soul and spirit, does not go into the dust, but it goes into the presence of the Lord. It's a powerful reality. Now, John's Gospel 4:24 says, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. You know that. And what that means for me is, it isn't simply the words that you speak in worship, the words that you pray in the liturgy. It's your heart singing, your heart resonating with the fact that this is true. I believe this. He has changed my life, and He is changing my life. That's the power of the Christian gospel. Now, to try to answer the question, what does this mean for you and I in a specific way? First of all, that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Our physical body is real. Speaking just for myself, this physical body is subject to aging. I used to run 10Ks. I used to play racquetball by the hour. I could walk 10K, but it would take me a very long time. Our bodies change. That's not necessarily because of our failure. It's a part of the fact that we live in a fallen body. Our physical body is real. We respect it. And to me, that's one of the reasons why, because we are created, spirit, soul, and body, why Christians say we do not believe that abortion is appropriate, because what is inside of the mom is a living being who is there physically as well as spiritually and with the soul. We can live, because we are spirit, soul, and body, you and I can live among the circumstances of life. This morning, a few of you, we talked at the door, are a little bit under the weather. But you can live among the circumstances of your life because you are more than what I see physically. You are spirit and soul wrapped in a human body. We honor and respect the human body, but we understand that who we are and will be eternally is what's on the inside. Likewise, we're gifted to impact other people in our lives, even in the service. It is normally said that during the Lord's Supper, prayer will be offered at the back. We can impart life and blessing to other people because we are more than a physical being. We are spirit and soul. Another aspect of spirit, soul, and body, thinking as a tripart human being, is that you and I will never be alone. It doesn't matter what the circumstances in your life are, you will never be alone because the Holy Spirit comes and indwells you in a way that changes everything. You are not by yourself. And then finally, in Jesus, we understand that we will live in eternity forever. But who we are in eternity starts here and now, starts in that moment. It started in that moment when you invited Jesus into your life and filled that void that made you hungry and searching for more. So as we continue with our service, as you go about your day, I hope that you will appreciate just at a tiny, deeper level who you are. We greet each other by name. I know who you are by voice and by physical shape. But you and I are so much more than that. We were created to live with God forever, and Jesus is the one who came in human form to open up the way back to the Father by His death, resurrection, and ascension. Simple lesson on the Trinity. There'll be a test tomorrow. God bless you. Let's now stand and share together our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please join me in the prayers of the people on page 6. In peace, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. For the Holy Church of God, that it may be filled with truth and love, and be found without fault at the day of your coming, we pray to you, O Lord. For Archbishop Welby, our presiding Bishop Curry, our own bishops Hollingsworth and Love, for all bishops and other ministers, and for all of the holy people of God, and for Pastor Paul, we pray to you, O Lord. For all who fear God and believe in you, Lord Christ, that our divisions may cease, and that all may be one as you and the Father are one, we pray to you, O Lord. For the mission of the church, that in faithful witness it may preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the world, that a spirit of respect and forbearance may grow among nations and peoples, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those in positions of public trust, that they may serve justice and promote the dignity and freedom of every person, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the poor, the persecuted, the homeless, the sick, those in our armed services and their families, and all who suffer, for refugees, prisoners, and all who are in danger, that they may be relieved and protected, we pray to you, O Lord. For this congregation, for those who are present and those who are absent, that we may be delivered from hardness of heart and show forth your glory in all that we do, we pray to you, O Lord. For all who have commended themselves to our prayers, for our families, friends, and neighbors, that being freed from anxiety, they may live in joy, peace, and health, we pray to you, O Lord. For all who have died in the communion of your church, and those whose faith is known to you alone, that with all the saints they may have rest in that place where there is no pain or grief, but life eternal. We pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Rejoicing in the fellowship of all the saints, let us commend ourselves and one another and all our life to Christ our God.
To you, O Lord, our God.
And finally, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we pray with open hearts and minds to know your will for us. Reveal to us the initiatives we should take for nourishing ourselves with your word, for supporting each other in Christian fellowship, for taking the gospel to outside communities, and for loving and serving others in the power of your Spirit. We are grateful for the pastoral encouragement you have provided us in this season. We are grateful for our lay leadership in their shouldering of extra burdens. Lord, we ask that you lay bare the hearts of this congregation and open each one of us to every new day. Open us to what you have for our future as a new church family in Christ. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthening you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you. Let's share that now with one another.
Good morning to the brave souls who came out and braved this 21-degree temperature. You know, as I got here a little early this morning, and as I was looking at the altar, look at these flowers. Study those flowers. Spring is coming. So no other announcements other than we have the annual meeting today. We'll convene about 10 minutes after the service closes, and there will be a potluck after the annual meeting. So your reward or your bribe, whichever way you choose to look at it, for staying for the annual meeting is you get free food. Peace be with you.
Just thinking that the church is all about free grace, free forgiveness. It doesn't cost us anything, but it costs Jesus his physical life. We continue as we prepare for the Lord's Supper now to present our offerings to the Lord. continue with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, because in the mystery of the Word made flesh, thou hast caused a new light to shine in our hearts, to give the knowledge of thy glory in the face of thy Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we have fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, after he'd given thanks, he took into his hands the cup, and he lifted it up in front of them and said, "Take and drink of this cup, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. We celebrate this memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them, O Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. And sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. please join with me in the prayer that our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
The gifts of God are for the people of God. I invite you to come in faith to receive. Folks, please join with me in the post-communion prayer. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. The blessing I have for you this morning is from Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of peace fill you with all joy and peace and believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. The Lord bless you. Folks, appreciate the day that we've been given as you go in peace to serve the Lord.